Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now. Welcome back to the podcast. This is The Vault by Access Hollywood, and we're about to press play on some throwback clips. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
And today, Zuri, today should almost be a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yep.
I mean, because this episode. What
no,
was that?
Never mind. Just let's pretend I never said it. I'm sorry.
No. What did you say?
Yonsei Day. Like holiday, but Yonsei Day. Yonsei. It was a hint, Scott. Yonsei. I'm gonna stop talking now. Proceed.
Take two. Today is the Beyonce episode.
Yeah, that was better.
Yonsei.
Queen B.
I mean, come on. She's known by several names, right? B. Some folks still are committed to calling her Bay.
People are still. Before you even let that come out your mouth.
I don't know why they won't let it go. Her name is Beyonce.
Right. In what universe would it ever be Bay?
The Bayhive? No.
Just no.
I mean, we all know her as the multi-hyphenate, right? The musician, the actor, the activist, the mother, the wife, the queen.
Sister. Mm-hmm.
The daughter.
Shout out to Solange, daughter.
Right?
We're just going to name everything she's ever
Everything
been.
She does.
Neighbor.
Neighbor. Car driver.
Houstonian.
All of the things.
All of it.
And among those, she has won 24 Grammy Awards. She's been nominated a record 70 times, making her the most nominated woman and the second most awarded woman in Grammy history. You also know her from her work in movies. Austin Powers. Remember her name in Austin Powers?
Yep.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about Dreamgirls? Who was she in Dreamgirls?
Started with a D. Right?
Dina.
Boom!
Dina Jones.
I was halfway there. Dina Jones.
I think her last name was Jones. I'm pretty sure it was Jones. What about Cadillac Records?
Yes, I remember that scene. She had that blonde short wig. She was crying.
Etta James.
I'm messing the recording studio. Classic. Yes.
Killed the man. Never
she killed somebody?
It. Broke his heart. Adrian Brody.
Wait, so are you fucking with me or did she really murder somebody in this movie?
I guess you're going to have to see.
Oh my God.
We're going to find out when the streaming numbers go up. Okay, and then of course, most recently, as Nala in the 2019 remake of The Lion King. I got in so much trouble on that carpet.
We were on that carpet together. You were side by side. What did you do that got you in trouble?
Do you remember trying to get the Nala bear, the little Simba stuffed that plush animal over there to her? Security were like, "You can kindly stay right where you are, sir." I was like, no, I'm just trying to get to my friend. They were like, who? I was like, Beyonce. They were like, that is not your friend.
Stand down.
Stand, or we gonna get dealt with.
Right, exactly.
But honestly, is there anything that she can't do well?
Nope. If I haven't thought of it yet. I'm curious to know if you've had any personal experiences with Yonsei.
We didn't even talk about fashion designer.
Oh, right. House of Darian. Wait.
And Ivy Park.
I was going to like level up to that. She started with House of Darian, right?
What was the thing?
Remember the song "House of Darian" and "My Name Young"? Was it "Single Ladies"? What was it? She was like, "I'm rocking with Darian." No, I'm about to Google lyrics because you try to play me, and I know for sure
it's "Get Me Body."
Oh yes, "Get Me Body." What's the song lyric? We got it because this used to be by
"Shake Your Derriere" and Darian. Shake Your Derriere and House of Darian.
Yes. There we go.
Get my body, want my body, get my body, get my body.
Okay. And then yes, Ivy Park, which is currently killing the game.
She was like, oh yeah, Nike, I don't need it.
Right. Remember when she sent all those Ivy Park boxes to everyone and the boxes were like the size of like a small master bedroom?
Can I be honest with you?
Please.
When you saw the rollout, did you look at your mailbox like, there's nothing even gonna fit in there? It's not gonna fit.
I ain't look at my mailbox because I was like, nah, that's above my pay grade. I ain't getting that box. I'll just watch the people unbox those things on Instagram. I don't need to check the mail today.
Look, I quietly was like, well, I mean, I think everybody has my address. I don't know if
I don't know, maybe it slipped through the cracks.
Should I post it? Should I post my address?
just throw it on Insta stories.
Just in case.
Hashtag
Ivy Park.
Right.
But I mean, we have been very fortunate and at this place to have some access to Beyonce, especially in a time, you know, where there was a time where she was doing interviews and now doesn't really do a whole lot of inviting the press to come interview for control of the message, right?
Right.
But yeah, I've had, can I tell the story?
I feel like you should tell the story.
Okay.
Tell the story.
So Tyler Perry has this incredible studio opening and I get an invite and can bring a plus one. So I take my mom to Atlanta for this incredible event. And he has stars from every big name, especially if they are Black, is in this building. And so it is incredible. We walk into this room and it's Denzel Washington. It's Hillary and Bill Clinton. It's Will Smith and Jada, and it's Tyler Perry. And we walk up and he stops all those conversations and has a real moment with my mom. Well, as we're looking around, my mom is like, there are so many famous people here. Well, Tyler Perry named a stage after Oprah. So I knew she was going to be there and wanted to finally introduce my mom to her like TV icon. So we finally get to this moment where I grab my mom because I want her to meet Oprah. We go down to the little, like this long table where they are. My mom is like, I need a margarita. She has no idea that I'm about to introduce her to Oprah. And I was like, maybe you can grab the margarita on the way back. She's like, nah, I'm gonna grab it right now. So she just grabs a drink off of a little tray. Mm-hmm. And she's walking down sipping her margarita. I see Oprah and she's talking to people. So I go to her publicist and say, hey, just wanted to introduce my mom. Want to know if we had a second. She was like, well, she's kind of busy right now. She's talking to Cicely Tyson and some other people. Maybe come back. So we do a lap. We come back and the publicist is distracted. Oprah is talking to some people. But I just was like, this is our moment. Mom, come with me now. And she's like, kind of realizing what maybe is about to happen.
Right.
And so because there's so much, there's not enough time. I just go to reach and tap Oprah Winfrey on the shoulder. And before I
bold move number one, by the way, I'm gonna just tap tap Ms. Winfrey.
Well, I figured, you know, we were all in here as friends.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you better step out on faith.
But as I tap tap, I realize you are tap tapping Oprah Winfrey, and this is not your game. And quickly realize how bad this can go. Mm-hmm. As Oprah turns around, like, who is tapping me? Oh my. I looked past her to see that she is actually talking to Beyonce and Jay-Z at this moment.
Dun, dun, dun.
So now I have interrupted Beyonce and Jay-Z talking to Oprah Winfrey at the Tyler Perry studio opening. And I am mortified.
As I would be too. Honestly, in this moment, yes, I would be feeling this.
And I look back at my mom like, run, run, run. But before I can, Oprah turns around and is like, Scotty!
Aww.
My mom melts. Mm-hmm. Grabs Oprah, they have a conversation, and now I'm standing there looking at Jay-Z and Beyonce like, hey, hi.
He's sorry. He's just my mom, big fan. She just loves
love y'all. Okay. Bye.
So wait, did they say anything? Did, like, what happened? You just stared
I said to Beyonce, "You look so pretty." She said, "You look so nice." And Jay was like, kind of like nodded. I was like, "What's up, brother?" He was like, "It's all good." And I was like,
"Wait, he said it's all good?" It's that sounds like you just interrupted.
It's not all good.
It's all good. You're forgiven.
Right. Don't do it again.
Don't do it again. Oh,
man,
I'm melting.
Mortified. So then I'm like ancient.
Monk? So I don't know where you're.
A monk. That's the one. I'm so sorry. Like trying to run away. And I walk up, my mom was like, "Was that Beyonce?" I was like, "Please keep walking, lady.
Just go.
Please. Fast.
Down the hall."
Embarrassed.
Wow. But embarrassed. At the end of the day, the takeaway here is you talk to Beyonce, which is more than most people can say because she is so notoriously private. It counts. She said you looked good. Jay-Z forgave you. That's a blessing. So Jay-Z, we just gotta look at the silver lining. So
I guess,
you know,
if that's what this is, I'll take it. Silver lining.
Here. Speaking of, obviously, honestly, I've not spoken to her. I have spoken in her general direction, and she waved at me because, you know, she's such a rare. Sort of enigma to come across. Like, she doesn't have to do the carpets in the event. So she doesn't, for the most part. And when she does, it doesn't mean she stops for interviews for the most part. She'll take her picture, she goes inside. So Met Gala is normally, like, that's the moment where it's like you get the interaction. Yep. And I remember I saw her definitely 1 year, maybe two, but I remember shouting at her like in a friendly way. You know, that's kind of what Met Gala is. I always joke that it's like the Hunger Games of red carpets, because it's just like, you better stick your mic out there and hope somebody decides to talk into it. And I remember being like, Beyonce. And we were just having fun at that point, me and a fellow entertainment correspondent for a different outlet, because you're like, whatever. If we get interviews, we don't get interviews, who cares? We might as well have fun
here
yelling at people, trying to get people to talk to us. And so we were kind of doing it jokingly, and she did turn around and she smiled and she waved at us. And that's all I needed, because I knew she wasn't coming over to talk. But and then I'm in a lot of her photos, and honestly, Scott, I think you are too.
Yes, so I was there. I saw the wave.
The wave, right?
Look, because we get nothing.
We get nothing except that picture proof that we breathe the same air. But I remember, because at the time I was at E, you were still at Access, and we were just in the back of all her shots with a mic stuck out. Trying to get that question in. I've not interviewed her yet. So
the bag match the dress? Wow, they did a really good job with that.
Just leaning in, smizing the whole, just holding my smile in case I get.
Well done, Miss Yvette. Well done.
Oh, you know, because she kills the game. She is
Miss Yvette is Beyonce's publicist. It has been since the very, very beginning.
Day one
of Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
So we have some clips that no one has ever heard before, and I'm excited to press play on those.
Yeah, it's time. Let's kick things off all the way back. We're really going in the vault for this one. 2002, so we're talking 19 years now. It's 2021. When Access Hollywood sat down with Beyonce after the red carpet premiere of Austin Powers and Goldmember, where she starred opposite Mike Myers as Foxy Cleopatra. Remember that? This was like Beyonce being like, and guess what? She acts. That was like our first introduction. Yes, in a whole fro, looking too good. And fun fact, her very first solo single actually came out through this soundtrack, which now that I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. But at the time, it's like that was the first time that we were introduced to Beyonce without, you know, being
Michelle
flanked by her fellow Destiny's Child members. We'd always seen her in some iteration, and at that point, yes, Michelle and Kelly. And this was her stepping out on her own. And during the interview that we're about to listen to, we asked her about performing the song Work It Out on television for the first time, and what it was like to go through that experience as just Beyonce and not a member of Destiny's Child. This is what she had to say.
Now, you performed for the first time the song My Jam, Work It Out, on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno tonight. What was it like performing? That was the first time.
It was the first time.
Basically, you performed it.
It was the first time. And I'm always nervous for TV because it's, you know, you can see every little mistake and you hear every little thing. Live is just more free. And to do it for the first time, I was nervous. But actually, the interview I was more nervous about than the performance. Because I'm used to performing. The interview, being by myself, I was like, I hope I'm not corny. I hope I'm not boring. I hope, you know, I just...
Because usually you're with Michelle and Kelly.
And they help me because I forget words and names and all kinds of things. I'm like, please, I just pray he doesn't ask me anybody's name because I blank completely out.
So what is it like not having them right at your side as you go through this process, performing, interviewing, walking the red carpet?
Well, you know, they are by my side. And the beautiful thing, for those couple of seconds, I got out the car and I walked by myself. I did an interview and I looked and they were right there.
Right.
And that's a beautiful feeling to know that regardless of what we do individually, we're always Destiny's Child and we're always together. And we're going on tour in January. And all of us are doing our successful things individually, which is wonderful. But you know that they are always there. Right. And it's a beautiful thing to, it's not fake. It is real. And we do support each other. And hopefully we can break that stereotype that, you know, female groups can't support each other.
Wow.
You know what I love most about that clip is she's saying, hopefully we can break that stereotype, because who knew what the future held in that moment? Mm-hmm. That was almost 20 years ago now. And the fact that it happened, right? Like, to this day, we see Michelle supporting, we see Kelly supporting, we see Beyonce supporting their endeavors too. And to know that those friendships have stood the test of time and have stood their individual solo careers really is just an awesome example to me of women supporting women.
It is also endlessly fascinating to hear her in her talking voice.
Her talking voice.
I just,
which is so rare, right? We don't hear it often.
I can't even do it. Like, her voice is as deep as mine. You know what I mean?
Timber, yeah.
Yeah, she's got this, I don't know. We need more interviews with Beyonce. That's what I'm trying to get. Missy Vent, hook us up.
Please, just
let us get a 5-minute.
It can be a pre-recorded 45 second shout out to the vault. We will take whatever we can get.
You know? Oh man, it's also cool to hear her talking about being nervous, kind of performing on television, right? That it's that on stage being live is a freedom that she feels, but that there's a pressure that she feels when performing on TV.
Right.
I wonder if that she still feels like that. You know what I mean? Because now with 4K,
listen,
you can see nose hairs.
Don't get more particular.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can see every single thing. But it's cool to hear her almost timid. Sure. Yeah. Like, she's definitely sure. She definitely doesn't seem like she doesn't know how it's going to go.
Right.
But almost timid in, like, the, you know, I am doing this now without my girls.
There's definitely some vulnerability that comes with something like that. And that was even before Dangerously in Love, right? So this is truly her first step out of the nest.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
This was before
what is your favorite Dangerously in Love song?
Crazy in Love, no doubt, just because it was the classic. It was the single. She came out just swinging. You had Jay on the track. Little did we know that was going to be the first of like 17,4592 collaborations that were all dope, right? Like, it just set the scene for another like two decades of these amazing collaborations between what we soon realized were partners and then eventually husband and wife. And I loved everything about it. I knew the whole dance start to finish. I would get up right now and do it, but my podcast headphones have me tethered to the laptop. But that was my jam. So Crazy in Love is the go-to. Oh my God. Now I'm in my feelings about it.
Signs with Missy Elliott.
I fell in love with the Sagittarius.
You already know.
Hey.
See the emotions he put me through.
Oh, wait. Me, myself, and I. That's all I got in the end. This is what I found out. And it ain't no need. Oh, my God. Yes.
Good, right?
I might have to go revisit that. That was a classic.
You need to listen. Just go ahead and revisit it, because you're going to go back to. This is one of the things I've always thought was interesting about one of the critiques I have heard some people try to make about Beyonce and her music, is that it is trendy, right? That she doesn't have timeless songs that people will be caring about.
But that's
feeling.
Not true.
It is so not true. But you know, some people try to do that comparison, like Adele makes music that like for, and it's like, that's a different kind of music for mm-hmm. a different kind of moment in your life.
Right.
A different kind of experience in your life beyond this album.
Right. Because I will listen to that tonight.
Today.
And it would be just as applicable as it was almost 20 years ago, which is wild. 15 years ago, I guess I should say.
But I'd 15. Rather be with you.
And remember, Daddy, I want everybody to be like my daddy. I forgot the lyrics of that one.
It's you. We're always with the Mariah hand.
With the little finger. That's how I get up there. I'm just trying to get up there, you know?
Oh, man. It's too good. It's just too good.
And the cover. Okay, we're going to talk about the next clip. But remember the cover, the blue backdrop, and she was in the diamonds or the rhinestone studded crop top.
Do I remember?
Oh, my God, with the body wave just blowing in the wind. I feel like I tried to recreate that look for a very unfortunate event one summer.
Listen, maybe this is your Halloween costume.
Should I even? I can't touch it. That's a risk. That's
You could try.
You could try. We'll be there to resuscitate when you.
Yeah.
Fail and fall out.
Listen, while we gather ourselves in the glory that is the debut album, the solo debut album of Beyoncé, we're gonna go on break. We'll be right back after this. All right, thanks for coming back. We're gonna move things right along. Let's continue our trip down memory lane. And our second clip takes place in 2006. Now, this Access Hollywood interview took place during the press tour for Dreamgirls. Big, big, big Broadway hit, right? This brought us Jennifer Holliday, Cheryl Lee Ralph, mm-hmm. and Loretta Devine. They mm-hmm, were the mm-hmm. original Dreamgirls, right? And so this film adaptation, it was iconic.
Yep.
Beyoncé, of course, as Dina Jones. Listen to what she said, though, about working on the film and working with her co-star, the Academy Award-winning Jennifer Hudson.
So this is just a role of a lifetime for you, isn't it?
It really is. I had the time of my life. I knew I wanted to be a part of this. It's something that I knew would be a part of history, mm-hmm. something that is classic, yeah. and something very relevant. And I didn't care if I was in the movie for 2 minutes.
Right.
I didn't care. I just wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's what everybody said. Eddie said, look, you know, they weren't coming with the salary that he would normally get.
Yeah.
And Jamie said the same thing. But then when they found out who was involved with it
Absolutely.
And, you know, really took a look at that script again, they said, we do it for nothing.
Yeah. And
almost nothing.
I mean, I did this movie for a fourth of the money that I normally make. Mm-hmm. And I can make, you know, in one show the money I made. I didn't care. I would have literally done it for absolutely nothing. Oh, and I would have had a part this big just to be in it. I wanted to be in it.
Let's talk about Jennifer Hudson. She, just the sweetest girl.
Isn't she
beautiful? With a powerhouse
sweet.
Of a voice.
Yes, she's so sweet. And I remember meeting her and, you know, she walked in and she's just Jennifer. I mean,
right.
she's so honest and so real.
Had you seen American Idol?
I wanted her to win.
Oh, really?
Like everybody else, of course. Uh-huh. So she walks in and I'm like, I already know that she's an incredible singer because I watched her on American Idol. And I said, I'm Beyoncé and I'm scared. I'm terrified. And I just want you to know that we're all scared and learning together. And, you know, we would help each other out and we're all Virgos.
Yeah.
And we just had the time of our life. And she had so much pressure because whenever I would tell people that I was doing Dreamgirls, they didn't want to talk about any character but Effie. Mm. And they were like, okay, how's it? I'm telling you.
Right.
So I know she had that pressure and she completely pulled it off. She is incredible. Her voice is like an angel and she is an angel. So she deserves everything that she's getting. I'm very happy for her.
Oh my gosh, I love just how much love she poured onto Jennifer in that moment.
Mm-hmm. That's like,
that's awesome.
And that's real too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Beyoncé at this point was a major star.
Right. Which you kind of caught in the interview, right? Where she was like, I'm Beyoncé and I'm nervous. So at this point, she knows what I'm Beyoncé means. You know what I mean? I love that she used that as an opportunity to tell Jennifer Hudson, relax, we're all in this together, we're all nervous, but she right. is most definitely Beyonce.
And then she lets you know, yeah, they might have got paid less than what they normally. I'm making a fourth of what I make.
This is a quarter. So,
yeah,
a
yeah, quarter. We did the math.
You hear me?
Yeah.
And the craziest part about this guy, Beyonce Knowles was 25 years old.
Okay, but wait, don't do that to yourself. Don't even do that to yourself.
You know, this is the part where I spiral. I'm just like, what am I doing with my life? At 25 years old, I was sleeping on your couch in Jersey trying to audition for a role on Fuse TV for a music countdown show.
Did you get the show?
I did, and God okay, is good because he brought me through it, and here we are.
And look
here
at us now.
Fun fact for the audience, Scott and I go way back. We probably talked about like 10-ish years, maybe a little bit more. Like Indiana days.
Indiana,
I'm
Midwest.
From next door, Ohio.
Midwest, yeah. Stand up.
Exactly. I was trying to get to New York and I had a casting, like an interview, and I could not afford a hotel. I was like, I would literally sleep on the streets of Times Square because that's my only option. And then I was like, oh wait, Scott's out there. And I hit him up and he actually responded because you know people be real fake once it comes time to open up the door.
I need you for something. Hello, who this?
Hello? This number is not in
Scott. He doesn't live here anymore. No, the great part about that though is when you hit me, you didn't know I was living in New Jersey.
I rounded up. That's how Ohio I was at the time. It's all the same to me. I mean, he up the street from MTV.
He gotta be close.
He was so, like, you can stay, but this is what you're gonna have to do to get me going.
Let me just let you know you're going to take the 2-5 to the 1 to the 7.
I showed it.
But I mean, this is it is the movie would go on to do so well. Like I said, Jennifer Hudson, you know, she's glowing about working with her. Jennifer Hudson would go on to win the Academy Award for her role as Effie. Effie is one of the big arcs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dreamgirls, and probably she has the big number. It was also cool to know that Beyonce came into this movie, and it was like you had Eddie Murphy, you had Jamie Foxx, all these really great creators, right? These performers, also, and it was like, what else can we do? How else? Mm-hmm. What else can we add to this? And then they came up with Listen.
Yeah. Oh my God. Listen was the jam.
You know what I mean?
And I love that gave Beyonce her moment, right? Like it wasn't the solo that we're used to hearing in relation to Dreamgirls, but it was something new and entirely creative. And what I also loved was even with such a star-studded cast, sometimes I get a little nervous when there are too many stars, too many big names in one movie. Cause I'm like, oh my God, are they just like loading this up with names and therefore not going to do the work to just make it a good story, make it a solid 2-hour experience.
Right.
But Dreamgirls is a really good example of an all-star cast getting it right and really adding to the story instead of distracting from the story.
Yeah.
The movie went on to win 3 Golden Globes too, which is a testament to just how well they pulled off that production. Mm-hmm. Before we wind things down, I want to flash forward to 2011. Beyonce at this point is a powerhouse performer. She's an entrepreneur. Everyone knows her name. Her album 4, that might be my favorite of all the albums. I'm going to have to marinate on that tonight. That was like...
Really?
I loved 4. You didn't love 4?
No, I loved... There has not been... Let me just keep this all the way 100 with you. There is not a Beyonce album that I don't love.
Okay, right.
To be honest with you. But there is something about Lemonade.
Oh, well, sure. Lemonade, definitely. I think that is her most... fully fleshed out album. Obviously she had the visual component, but even without it, I think she's being extremely raw and vulnerable and honest for obvious reasons.
She did country music.
Yes. No, I love it. I love it. I love it. I just, 4 was an album that for me personally and selfishly, it was like a defining soundtrack to my life at that time. So it was resonating.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I have more personal memories to every song on 4. I remember when I was going through this. I remember when I was crying and listening to that. I remember when I was so happy and I played that song on repeat. Where Lemonade.
Was 4 the one where she went, burr, burr, do, 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 do.
What song is that?
This is fun, fun, it's something. Really move as it was just 16.
Yeah. The James Dean song. The James Dean song?
No. Is it James Dean?
No, that's another song. The 4 was Best Thing I Never Had. which was and the jam.
What goes around, come back around, that's my baby.
By the way, is best thing I never had. That is
right. Yes.
But I just, I was in that peak phase of like, fuck dudes, da-da-da-da-da. I'm the best thing you never had. So I was just, she had me in my feelings. She was wearing the soundtrack to my life. Satellites, I think, was four.
Yeah.
There was just a lot. But anyways, her album Four had just come out to critical acclaim. She's married to Jay-Z at this point with Blue mm-hmm. Ivy on the way. She's literally on top of the world. You would think it would be impossible to top herself, but you'd be wrong. Listen to what she had to say when we asked her what she wanted to accomplish before she turns 40.
What are the three things left that Beyonce wants to accomplish before she hits the age of 40?
That's a good one. Okay. Well, I would love to, before I hit the age of 40, I'd love to have some children. I would love to direct, continue to learn videos, and maybe by then a film, short film, documentary. I love documentaries. I'd love for my company to grow and to develop younger artists and take the wisdom and all of my life experiences and be able to pass them and develop deserving young talent. And I love to continue to grow as an entrepreneur, and I just hope that I'm happy and into my children and well-adjusted and still making music if that makes me happy at that time.
So Beyonce just manifested her whole life in that interview because she turns 40 in September of this year, 2021, and quite literally has checked off every single one of those boxes. The thing that stood out first to me, remember she said, you know, I'd like to develop new artists. Chloe and Halle via Parkwood Entertainment. I mean,
Grammy nominated Chloe and Halle. Yeah, like, to see the growth from their first project with Parkwood to this most recent Ungodly Hour, yes. Which is certified gold. Mm-hmm. It is. She is doing the things that she intended to do, yes. And in ways that I guess this kind of makes me think that. I was about to say in ways that she could probably never have imagined, but I think that in order to do them this way, you have to have imagined them, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember talking about this with Tiffany Haddish and like how you go from being a foster kid living in your car and struggling to, you know, on top billing in movies and your own production company, Netflix specials and traveling the world and everyone knowing who you are. Right. Did you ever believe this would be your life? Could you ever have believed? And she was like, she went to say no. And she was like, no, wait, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Dreaming of this is how I've made it through living in the car.
Mm.
And so I would imagine that for Beyonce, it was like dreaming about this helped her make it through those nights of, you know, we've heard about bleeding from rehearsing the dance until she could, you know, do it with her eyes closed and forward and backwards. You know what I mean? It's like... Yeah, in order, sometimes I think we believe that people have been given all of their achievement, right? Like they somehow, mm-hmm. because they're beautiful or even because they're talented, they just get it.
Things just fall in their lap.
And it's not the case.
No. I think very often it's not. It's just that we don't, as a culture, as a society, care about everything that went into it. We only care once we care, right? Mm-hmm. Like people only care once they care. And that's when these overnight sensations, quote unquote, pop up.
Right.
But they've been doing the grinding for 10 years before that. Mm-hmm. And that is a testament to Beyonce's work ethic, because to think about the success she had at 16, 17, 18 with Destiny's Child, you're like, well, clearly she has to be an overnight success. She's so young. No, there are tapes of her with Girls' Time before Destiny's Child at 8 years old, 9 years old, getting it, putting them steps in, learning that choreography. Mm-hmm. So what's wild is she put in just as much work as anyone else. She just started at a crazy young age, mm-hmm. which you would hope would make way for success that she deserves.
And
by 25,
the compound effect, right? You talk about the Girls' Time. It's also, they were on Star Search and didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But were dedicated to rehearsal and practice making perfect and honing the skill and the craft. If you think about the hours that she's put in to being the performer that she is, I'm going to say, and I think you would agree, the performer of our lifetime, mm-hmm. right?
I agree.
It is easy to see why at 25, you know, that's why I said to you, I was like, don't even feel bad. Don't even feel
don't
bad.
Spiral. She, don't spiral. Yeah, don't
she
jump.
She was in the womb doing single ladies choreo.
Just kicking, like, doing a little hand wave.
I was going to try to make a baby sound, but it was like, it's in the womb.
No,
so that's
don't,
weird.
God, please, spare us. That's weird. Spare us.
But she said she was talking about like wanting to have children. She's got three, the twins mm-hmm. and Blue Ivy, right? Rumi directing. And Sir. She's directed 4 projects, Life is But a Dream, which was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Beyonce, the Lemonade album, the visual album, Homecoming. I was in the audience yes. of this uh-huh. Coachella situation. And
was that your Coachella moment?
It was my first one.
2 years before.
It was my first one. It was an out of body experience. I think I actually ended up, I cried at the second year, the Ariana year for Janelle Monáe and Childish Gambino. They went back to back. It was Janelle Monáe and then Childish Gambino. When Childish Gambino uh-huh. ended, I was trying to do a review for Access. And I just turned the camera on. I was walking back and I just started crying. And then I realized crying. I was like, I gotta go.
Why are you crying?
Just an emotional experience.
Yeah. Right.
An emotional experience. Wink, wink, wink,
wow.
wink.
That'll touch you. You know, that'll hit
music
you
festivals. But I remember it being like, you knew. When you were watching that Homecoming performance at Coachella, you knew when you were watching Beyonce, you were watching something really, really special, something that you would not necessarily see again.
Right. Exactly. No, you're so right. I remember Homecoming. I was watching from my couch. I watched the live stream of Coachella. I went the year before. I couldn't do the crowds. I was like, Beyonce, she gonna bring out everybody. You know, everybody showing up for that one. So my panic attack was just arising at the thought of it. So I was like, I'm gonna just watch this one from a little couch set up. But it was absolutely amazing. And I love that she highlighted HBCU culture, mm-hmm. historically Black colleges and universities. I love that she brought that to the main stage, because obviously anyone who knows about Coachella, there are main stages, there are small stages, like whatever. There are lots of different stages. Yep. But knowing that she had that opportunity and the thing that she chose to highlight was traditional Black American culture mm-hmm. for a certain portion of a mainstream audience that maybe otherwise wouldn't have experienced
have never
that,
known it.
You know, mm-hmm. the marching bands, the music, the dance, like, it was amazing.
The colors, the hair, the all of it. Remember
all
her,
of it.
Her mother, Miss Tina Knowles Lawson said, I think, on social media that she was worried mm-hmm. that performance would not be received well because it was so Black, because it was so unapologetically Black. Yeah. And then when
by 2019, that's where Beyonce was, which mm-hmm. we all loved, unapologetically Black. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't get on board with it, then goodbye.
Do you remember like, that SNL skit? The SNL one where they realized Beyonce is Black?
No, but already that sounds hilarious.
White people
funny.
Were like, wait, what?
What? But she's a natural blonde. Wow. That's funny. I gotta watch
it. It's incredible. I highly recommend it. Listen, this has been a treat.
So much fun.
This has been a treat. Walking down memory lane with Beyonce. I'm just gonna go ahead and put it out there right now. Miss Yvette, if you are listening to this. Zuri Hall and Scott Evans are shooting mm-hmm. our shot. We would
yes,
love,
we are.
You know, even if it's changing table time. I don't know if it's Wait, if what? It's green What's juice, if it's mean? Yeah, like you know, with if it's diaper time, if that's the only time she's got. Like I don't if she's refueling the helicopter or maybe you know the final touches on one of those Ivy Park boxes. Whatever the case may be, if it's 2 minutes or 22 seconds,
we'll take it.
We're down.
We will take it. At the very least, we'll take an Ivy Park box. 2021.
You 2022.
Still 2022. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Totally. But also, like, Not
feel
really.
Free to send it. Oh my God. She clearly continues to surprise and amaze us. Cannot wait to see what Beyonce has in store. You know there's something else up her sleeve.
I feel like it's happening right now.
Literally, we don't know. She is baking the whole thing, literally taking it out the oven. What do you mean?
You know, there's apparently a studio space that has been linked allegedly. Like TV studio space that has been linked allegedly. So there is something. Yeah, there's something going on.
Do we have a Beyonce television channel? Like a 24-hour Magnolia Network, but for Knowles Carter? Ooh. Like music, culture? No?
Zuri, I'm going to tell you this right now. If in July of 2021, you add to your bio, I got a new show on the Beyonce Knowles Network.
I'm ready to tune in.
Oh, Right. Because Zuri went you with a, I didn't tell you.
Yeah. I can only hope that that is information that I get so lucky as to withhold from you, Scott. I can't wait. I pray to the Lord above. But I can safely say right now, ain't no plans to be on her channel. But I hope that if it's coming, that there's space for me and you there too. We should do a little crossover show, a little Access Hollywood, Beyonce's yet to be named channel crossover. Listen. Experience,
you know, I've been pitching Blacks as Hollywood for a long time.
You really have been just holding strong with that name.
Blacks as Hollywood. Don't take it. Don't take that shit. You know that's mine.
Infringement.
Look, I have said it on this show right here. Scott Evans, this is not yours.
This is
Blacks as Hollywood.
Court of law.
On Peacock. Stands up.
Exactly. Coming soon. Coming soon. When it gets greenlit. But no, speaking it into existence.
2021. Yes.
Juneteenth. Juneteenth.
Here we go.
On that note, thank you all for joining us on this trip into the vault. We will see you next time.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.